Chapter 1. Foundations of Fire Support and the Role of the Field Artillery. Fire support is a rapid and continuous integration of surface-to-surface indirect fires, target acquisition, armed aircraft, and other lethal and non-lethal attack/delivery systems that converge against targets across all domains in support of the supported commander's concept of operations. The functions, characteristics, and principles of supporting maneuver with fire and giving depth to operations across all domains, land, sea, air, space, and cyberspace, have origins which are deeply rooted in the universal military experience. They are constant and in conjunction with the role and core competencies of the field artillery, FA, will apply to future multi-domain operations just as they apply to the present. Rapidly emerging technology and future missions and capabilities will change the methods of employing fire support, FS, as well as the degree by which FS is balanced with maneuver. However, the basic premise for why we provide FS will remain unchanged. FS is inherently joint, conducted in all domains and across all dimensions, while simultaneously executed at all echelons of command. The commander will utilize organic and joint attack/delivery assets and capabilities to provide joint FS. Joint fire support is joint fires that assist the joint force in creating effects and achieving objectives, JP3O. Fires are the use of weapons systems to create a specific lethal or non-lethal effect on a target, JP3O. FS is a critical component of the fire's warfighting function tasks of integrate and execute that allow the commander to converge effects across all domains to achieve positions of relative advantage in the context of large-scale combat operations. See ADP 3-19. Relative advantage is location or condition in any domain relative to an adversary or enemy that provides an opportunity to progress towards or achieve an objective. FM-3O. The commander employs lethal and non-lethal capabilities to support the scheme of maneuver, to mass firepower, and to destroy, neutralize, and suppress enemy forces. Lethal FS attack and delivery systems consist of indirect fire weapons and armed aircraft, to include FA, mortars, naval surface fire support, and air-delivered munitions from fixed-wing and rotary-wing aircraft. Field artillery is equipment, supplies, ammunition, and personnel involved in the use of cannon, rocket, or surface-to-surface missile launchers. In large-scale combat operations, FS could be the principal means of destroying enemy forces. In this event, the scheme of maneuver would be designed specifically to capitalize on the effects of FS. Non-lethal capabilities include cyberspace electromagnetic activities, SEMA, information activities, space, and munitions such as illumination and smoke. A non-lethal weapon is a weapon, device, or munition that is explicitly designed and primarily employed to incapacitate personnel or materiel immediately, while minimizing fatalities, permanent injury to personnel, and undesired damage to property in the target area or environment. JP 3-09. Fire support and the threat. Strategic competitors and adversaries have studied our military operations closely over the last 30 years. They know that we excel by emphasizing joint and combined operations, technological dominance, global power projection, strategic, operational, and tactical maneuver, joint fires, sustainment at scale, and mission command initiative. Strategic competitors like China and Russia are synthesizing emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, hypersonics, nanotechnology, and robotics with their analysis of military doctrine and operations. They deploy these capabilities through multiple layers of standoff in all domains, space, cyber, air, sea, and land, by establishing zones of anti-access, A2/area denial, AD. Enemy A2 refers to those actions and capabilities, usually long-range, designed to prevent an opposing force from entering an operational area, OA. Operational area is an overarching term encompassing more descriptive terms, such as area of responsibility and joint operations area, of locations for the conduct of military operations. JP3O. AD refers to those actions and capabilities, usually of shorter range, designed not to keep an opposing force out, but to limit its freedom of action within the OA. Both China and Russia utilize an Integrated Fires Command to employ FS assets. The Integrated Fires Command executes all fire support tasks for the supported command. An Integrated Fires Command is a dedicated combination of command and control, C2 structures, and organic and attached joint FS units. The Integrated Fires Command exercises centralized C2 of all allocated dedicated FS assets retained by its level of command. This can include aviation, artillery, naval gunfire, and surface-to-surface missile units from different commands and services. It also exercises C2 over all reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition, TA assets, dedicated to its support. An Integrated Fires Command is tasked to engage designated operational and strategic targets. Integrated Fires Commands are typically associated with campaign-level headquarters. An Integrated Fires Command and its component systems have key vulnerabilities that Army forces can target when supporting joint force operations. Like any military system, it requires sustainment capabilities and other support that Army forces can detect and attack. It has electromagnetic signatures that enable detection from friendly joint intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, ISR, from all domains. Enemy networks depend on C2 nodes Army forces can target. Perhaps most importantly, systems within an Integrated Fires Command are comprised of land-based capabilities, including sensors, fires capabilities, and C2 nodes, all of which Army forces can attack. FM3O. For more information on Chinese and Russian Integrated Fires Commands, see FM3O and ATP 7-100.3 and the Worldwide Equipment Guide website. A peer or near-peer force represents the greatest potential threat to the United States forces. Peer threats employ their resources across all domains to attack the vulnerabilities of the United States and our allies. The threat is any combination of actors, entities, or forces that have the capability and intent to harm United States forces, United States national interests, or the homeland, ADP-3O. They use their capabilities to create lethal and non-lethal effects throughout an operational environment, OE. An operational environment is the aggregate of the conditions, circumstances, and influences that affect the employment of capabilities and bear on the decisions of the commander, JP-3O. In a new era of great power competition, our nation's adversaries seek to achieve their strategic aims, short of conflict, by the use of layered standoff in the political, military, and economic realms to separate the United States from our unified action partners. During large-scale combat operations, they will employ A2 AD systems and tactics to separate United States forces and our allies in time, space, and function in order to defeat us. Large-scale combat operations are extensive joint combat operations in terms of scope and size of forces committed, conducted as a campaign aimed at achieving operational and strategic objectives. ADP-3O. Technological achievements over the past decades have made possible great qualitative improvements in their weaponry to match observed vulnerabilities in United States systems and forces. United States adversaries seek to delay friendly forces long enough to achieve their goals and end hostilities before they reach culmination. Peer threats will employ various methods to employ their national elements of power to render United States military power irrelevant. To defeat peer forces in large-scale combat, United States forces must first penetrate A2 AD systems, establish a position of relative advantage, retain the initiative, and prevent enemy forces from achieving mass, momentum, and sustaining land combat. A balanced application of both firepower and maneuver is essential for United States forces to achieve these goals. This calls for FS system synchronization and convergence of effects to attack high-payoff targets, HPTs, across the width and depth of the OA. Convergence is an outcome created by the concerted employment of capabilities from multiple domains and echelons against combinations of decisive points in any domain to create effects against a system, formation, decision-maker, or in a specific geographic area, FM3O. A high-payoff target is a target whose loss to the enemy will significantly contribute to the success of the friendly course of action, JP3-60. Some threat actors have chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear seaburn weapons capabilities and the ability to employ such weapons. Therefore, threat intent to employ seaburn weapons must be assessed. Preparation and planning to conduct operations in a seaburn environment are of paramount importance in any confrontation with a threat actor armed with seaburn capabilities. Understanding threat seaburn weapons doctrine is important, particularly during large-scale combat operations. The functions and principles of FS must apply to an ever-increasing number of hostile global situations that extend across the range of military operations. The FS system must be flexible enough to respond to any number of operations across the conflict continuum. Threat operations across all domains will attempt to degrade all aspects of FS, from C2 to TA and delivery. Fire support in joint and multi-domain operations. Employing army and joint capabilities makes use of all available combat power from each domain to accomplish missions at least cost. Multi-domain operations are the Army's contribution to joint campaigns, spanning the competition continuum. Below the threshold of armed conflict, multi-domain operations are how Army forces accrue advantages and demonstrate readiness for conflict, deterring adversaries while assuring allies and partners. During conflict, they are how Army forces close with and destroy the enemy, defeat enemy formations, seize critical terrain, and control populations and resources to deliver sustainable political outcomes. FM3O. Multi-domain operations are the combined arms employment of joint and army capabilities to create and exploit relative advantages that achieve objectives, defeat enemy forces, and consolidate gains on behalf of joint force commanders. FM3O. Joint operations encompass all five domains: air, land, maritime, space, and cyberspace. That includes the electromagnetic spectrum, EMS, and the information environment. The employment of joint and army capabilities, integrated across echelons and synchronized in a combined arms approach, is essential to defeating threats able to contest the joint force in all domains. Army forces integrate land, maritime, air, space, and cyberspace capabilities that facilitate maneuver to create physical, information, and human advantages joint force commanders exploit across the competition continuum. FM3O. FS is most effective when its effects are converged across all domains and understood through the three dimensions: human, physical, and information. Combat power is the total means of destructive and disruptive force that a military unit/formation can apply against an opponent at a given time. JP3O. FS must also be integrated with our unified action partners. Unified action partners are those military forces, governmental and non-governmental organizations, and elements of the private sector with whom Army forces plan, coordinate, synchronize, and integrate during the conduct of operations, ADP3O. An example of an Army FS capability employed as part of the joint force is long-range precision surface-to-surface fires used to penetrate and disintegrate the enemy's A2AD systems both on land and at sea. Disintegrate is to disrupt the enemy's command and control, degrading the synchronization and cohesion of its operations, FM3O. They are closely integrated into the Joint Force Commander's, JFC's, scheme of operations as part of the Army's overall FS contribution. The Joint Force Commander is a general term applied to a combatant commander, subordinate unified commander, or Joint Task Force Commander. JP1, Volume 1. The Army supports the Joint Force by conducting the four strategic roles of shape OEs, counter aggression on land during crisis, prevail during large-scale ground combat, and consolidate gains. The strategic roles clarify the enduring reasons for which the United States Army is manned, organized, trained, and equipped. Strategic roles are not phases of an operation or a task, and they do not necessarily occur sequentially or on distinct terrain. Rather, the Army contributes to the joint operation specifically by providing forces and conducting operations across all four strategic roles. The supported commander is responsible for conducting these operations on a simultaneous basis. The requirement to integrate and synchronize FS with these strategic roles is inherent with this responsibility. The Army's multi-domain operations concept accounts for the constant nature of war and the changing character of warfare. Its balanced approach guides how Army forces operate across the competition continuum, given the prevailing characteristics of anticipated OEs now and in the near future. FM 3.0. Tenets of Operations. The tenets of operations are desirable attributes that should be built into all plans and operations. They are directly related to how the Army's operational concept should be employed. Commanders use the tenets of operations to inform and assess course of action, COA, development, throughout the operations process. The extent to which an operation exhibits the tenets provides insight into the probability of success. The tenets of operations are agility, convergence, endurance, and depth. Table 1-1 in the print version of FM 3-09 provides several fire support considerations for the tenets of operations. For more information on the tenets of operations, see FM 3.0. Imperatives of Operations. Imperatives are actions Army forces must take to defeat enemy forces and achieve objectives at an acceptable cost. They are informed by the OE and the characteristics of the most capable threats that Army forces can encounter. For more information on imperatives of operations, see FM 3.0. Table 1-2 in the print version of FM 3-09 lists several FS considerations for the imperatives of operations. Operational approach and operational framework. An operational approach provides the logic for how tactical tasks ultimately achieve the desired end state. It provides a unifying purpose and focus to all operations. Sound operational approaches balance risk and uncertainty with friction and chance. The operational approach provides the basis for detailed planning, allows leaders to establish a logical operational framework, and assists in producing an executable order. See ADP 3.0 and ADP 5.0 for doctrine on operational art and planning, respectively. An operational framework organizes an area of geographic and operational responsibility for the commander and provides a way to describe the employment of forces. The framework illustrates the relationship between close operations, operations in depth, and other operations in time and space across domains. As a visualization tool, the operational framework bridges the gap between a unit's conceptual understanding of the environment and its need to generate detailed orders that direct operations. Operational approach. Through operational art, commanders develop their operational approach. Operational approach is a broad description of the mission, operational concepts, tasks, and actions required to accomplish the mission. JP 5.0. An operational approach is the result of the commander's visualization of what needs to be done in broad terms to solve identified problems. Table 1-3 in the print version of FM 3-09 lists several operational and FS considerations for operational approach. It is the main idea that informs detailed planning. When describing an operational approach, commanders consider ways to defeat enemy forces in detail and potential decisive points. Defeat in detail is concentrating overwhelming combat power against separate parts of a force, rather than defeating the entire force at once. ADP 3-90. Employ combinations of defeat mechanisms to isolate and defeat enemy forces, functions, and capabilities. Assess options for assuming risk. Strategic framework. The strategic framework accounts for factors in the strategic environment and the connection of strategic capabilities to operational and tactical level operations. It includes the strategic support area, joint security area, extended deep area, and assigned OA. The strategic framework has importance in terms of joint operations and Army operational level operations. For most Army operations, understanding the Army operational framework in the context of the strategic framework is important. For more information on strategic and operational frameworks, see FM30, JP30, and JP3-10. Operational framework. An operational framework is a cognitive tool used to assist commanders and staffs in clearly visualizing and describing the application of combat power in time, space, purpose, and resources in the concept of operations. ADP 1-01. Commanders build their operational framework on their assessment of the OE, including all domains and dimensions. They may create new models to fit the circumstances, but they generally apply a combination of common models according to doctrine. The three models commonly used to build an operational framework are assigned areas, deep, close, and rear operations, main effort, supporting effort, and reserve. Note: commanders may use any operational framework model they find useful, but they must remain synchronized with their higher echelon headquarters operational framework. FM30 provides a detailed discussion on each model. FS personnel must understand and properly use the doctrinal terminology, concepts, and considerations for the operational framework. Table 1-4 in the print version of FM3-09 lists several FS considerations for the three operational framework models. The Field Artillery's Role and Core Competencies. A role is the broad and enduring purpose for which the organization or branch is established. ADP 1-01. A branch has only one role. The role of the FA is to destroy, neutralize, or suppress the enemy by cannon, rocket, and missile fire, and to integrate and synchronize all FS assets into operations. This role clearly establishes why the FA was created, what our branch uniquely contributes to the conduct of combined and joint operations. A core competency is an essential and enduring capability that a branch or an organization provides to Army operations. ADP 1-01. The FA has two core competencies that describe what our branch contributes to our nation's security and to the JFC. To coordinate fire support, which is the planning and executing of fire, so targets are adequately covered by a suitable weapon or group of weapons. See JP 3-09. To deliver indirect fire. Indirect fire is fire delivered at a target not visible to the firing unit. The fire support system. Fire support is achieved through simultaneous and coordinated interaction of all the elements of the joint FS system, thorough continuous planning, aggressive coordination, and vigorous execution at all echelons of command. The FS system elements are C2, personnel, command posts, CPs, networks, processes, and procedures. TA, attack/delivery systems. These elements are the tools commanders use to make FS work. How they use these tools depends on how well commanders and staffs understand and integrate the core competency of the FS coordination process. This process must occur simultaneously at all echelons of command, but it is more complex at echelons above brigade. The rapid and continuous integration of the FS system at all echelons of command across the joint forces must be synchronized with maneuver forces. For this reason, the commander seeks and may accept counsel on FS from his fire support coordinator, FISCORD. But the commander must decide how the command will accomplish its mission. The fire support coordinator is the senior field artillery commander for the theater, corps, division, or brigade combat team, who is the supported commander's primary advisor to plan, coordinate, integrate fires, field artillery, and fire support in the execution of assigned tasks. This dual responsibility institutionalizes FS as commander's business and requires the FA commander to know the functions and objectives of the ground force, the operation of the FS system, and the technical aspects of FA fire as a supported commander's most available attack/delivery system. To further understand the FS system, it is necessary to examine each element in greater detail. This will be done in Chapter 2. Fire support functions. A function is the broad, general, and enduring role for which an organization is designed, equipped, and trained. JP 1, Volume 1. By applying the functions, guided by characteristics and principles, an organization or branch generates effects in the unique environment of the land domain to support the Army's operational concept. The four FS functions are the minimum requirements the FS system must fulfill to destroy, neutralize, or suppress the enemy. They give the commander and Fiscord a frame of reference to evaluate and assess the overall effectiveness of the FS system. These four FS functions are: support forces in contact, support the concept of operations, synchronize and converge FS systems and effects, lethal and non-lethal, across all domains, sustain and protect the FS system. These functions serve as unifying factors for the entire FS system and apply to the system's individual components. The four functions do not change or replace the traditional missions, roles, and operations of the different Army and joint FS assets. They do, however, provide a common point of departure for an operationally unified FS system. For example, United States Air Force aircraft in support of ground operations must accomplish the four functions simultaneously. However, the Air Force does not consciously plan to work the four functions. Rather, it accomplishes its ground support mission through its execution of close air support, CAS, and air interdiction, AI. The final assessment of the ground support mission must be made in terms of the four functions. The mission command principles in general, disciplined initiative in particular, underpin these functions at all warfighting echelons. To further clarify these points, it is necessary to examine each function in greater detail. This will be done in Chapter 3. Characteristics of fire support. Get the job done, tidy up the battlefield later. General Jack N. Merritt, Field Artillery. The purpose of a characteristic is to clearly establish essential attributes that the organization or function must possess to be effective. These characteristics are inherent in the design, mindset, and equipment for the FA, and provides our branch the ability to accomplish our role. The characteristics of FS are: to violently apply lethal fires in accordance with the law of war and established rules of engagement, ROE. To always operate in the spirit of the offense. To always operate as a single entity. Violently apply lethal fires within the law of war and ROE. In large-scale combat operations, the goal of every Fiscord is to orchestrate a perfect harmony of intense violence within the law of war and established ROE in support of the supported commander's concept of operations. Law of war is that part of international law that regulates the conduct of armed hostilities. JP 3-84. Rules of engagement are directives issued by competent military authority that delineate the circumstances and limitations under which United States forces will initiate and/or continue combat engagement with other forces encountered. JP 3-84. Unit commanders always retain the inherent right and obligation to exercise self-defense in response to a hostile act or demonstrated hostile intent. If you would make war, wage it with energy and severity. It is the only means of making it shorter and consequently less deplorable for mankind. General Napoleon Bonaparte. Always operate in the spirit of the offense. Fire support must always be conducted in the spirit of the offense, regardless of whether the maneuver or supported force is engaged in the offense or defense. Its FS must be offensively minded as it rapidly and continuously strikes HPTs across all domains. For example, when a maneuver unit seizes an assigned objective and transitions to the defense, its FS system continues to aggressively search for and attack HPTs, throughout the depth of the maneuver unit's assigned area of operations, AO, in a proactive and responsive manner. Operate as a single entity. The FS system is a single entity composed of a diverse group of attack and delivery systems, personnel, and materiel, most of which operate in different ways. All FS capabilities in all three elements of the FS system must function with a unity of effort and purpose. The methods of providing individual FS assets may vary in terms of C2, command and support relationships, and tactics, techniques, and procedures, TTPs. However, individual interests and concerns of each FS organization or asset must be made subordinate to the overall mission and to the supported commander to integrate across all domains and function rapidly and continuously as a unified force. There is a tendency in each separate unit to be a one-handed puncher. By that, I mean that the rifleman wants to shoot, the tanker wants to charge, the artilleryman to fire. That is not the way to win battles. If the band played a piece, first with the piccolo, then with the brass horn, then with the clarinet, and then with the trumpet, there would be a hell of a lot of noise, but no music. General George Patton, Armor. Principles of Fire Support Planning, Coordination, and Execution. A principle is a comprehensive and fundamental rule, or an assumption of central importance, that guides how an organization approaches and thinks about the conduct of operations. ADP 1-01. The key to effective FS is the supported commander's ability to bring assets to bear on the enemy in an integrated and coordinated manner that is synchronized with the scheme of maneuver. How well this occurs depends on how well FISCORs and staff understand and operate the FS coordination and execution processes. Execution is the act of putting a plan into action by applying combat power to accomplish the mission and adjusting operations based on changes in the situation. ADP 5-0. The principles of FS planning, coordination, and execution are listed below and will be further described in chapters 3 and 5. The principles of FS planning and coordination facilitate integration into the Army's operations process. Plan early and continuously. Ensure the continuous flow of target information. Consider the use of all capabilities. Use the lowest echelon capable of furnishing effective support. Furnish the support requested. Use the most effective FS means. Avoid unnecessary duplication. Consider airspace coordination. Provide adequate support. Provide for rapid coordination. Provide for flexibility. Use fire support coordination measures, FSCMs. The principles of FS execution utilize the memory aid, a WIFM-N. Adequate FS for the committed units. Wait to the main effort. Immediately available FS for the commander to influence the operation. Facilitate future operations. Maximum feasible centralized control, especially in the defense. Never place artillery in reserve. Fire support and field artillery training considerations. FA commanders and leaders at echelon are responsible and accountable for the training and performance of their units to ensure readiness in accordance with Headquarters Department of the Army standardized mission essential tasks and regionally aligned forces requirements. Commanders must incorporate joint mission essential tasks to ensure interoperability within the joint force. FA units that are trained, ready, and can win at the section, team, and platoon level are the foundational requirements to ensuring our supported maneuver formations can win in large-scale combat operations. FA commanders must balance this necessity for small unit proficiency against the requirement for higher level, battalion and battery, collective training and qualification. For example, a commander may choose to assume risk by reducing resources for qualification of higher qualification tables in order to ensure readiness at section, team, and platoon levels by increasing resources for this lower level training. However, this does not negate the requirement for proficiency at the battery and battalion levels. FA and FS training considerations must be in line with the Army's principles for training found in FM 7-0. Commanders are the primary trainers. Non-commissioned officers train individuals, crews, and small teams advise commanders on all aspects of training. Train using multi-echelon techniques to maximize time and resource efficiency. Train as a combined arms team. Train to standard using appropriate doctrine. Train as you fight. Sustain levels of training proficiency over time. Train to maintain. Fight to train. FA and FS training must be efficiently planned, resourced, and executed. FA and FS training must adhere to the operations process. Plan, prepare, execute, and assess. Utilizing virtual and constructive training resources enables units to enter into live training better prepared. Simulation can build proper muscle memory without expending valuable, limited live training resources. Constructive training enables the staff to replicate the tempo of targeting and execution in large-scale combat operations. Fully incorporating systems such as warfighter simulation, referred to as WARSIM, call for fire trainer, referred to as CFFT, training aids, devices, simulators, and simulations, referred to as TADS, and all the capabilities the combat training centers, referred to as CTCs, offer is vital to collective training. Live fire training not only ties this all together with a heightened sense of things, but also places the necessary stresses on the platforms and systems, validating that these weapons with operators can do what they are designed to do under all conditions. Commanders are the primary trainers. Commanders and leaders at Echelon are responsible and accountable for the training and performance of their units. Commanders train and resource training one echelon down and evaluate to two echelons down. They are responsible for assessing unit training proficiency and prioritizing unit training. Subordinate unit leaders are the primary trainers of their elements. For example, a platoon leader is responsible for the training and performance of the platoon. The FA certification and qualification program is a commander's program and is a collaborative effort between the institutional and the operational force. FA commanders continuously assess the unit's proficiency and readiness to perform its mission essential tasks. Each commander implements gunnery programs to achieve and sustain unit readiness and proficiency in these tasks. The commander uses all the resources available to implement an efficient gunnery program, which maximizes the use of ammunition, training area availability, and soldier training time to sustain proficiency. Commanders at Echelon are required to continuously evaluate readiness within their organizations to ensure their subordinate units are prepared for combat. The FA certification and qualification program provides everyone between the commander and the individual section with an objective means to gain that confidence. Through training, education, and experiences, sections, and thereby entire units, proficiency grows in supporting the commander's concept of the operation. Non-commissioned officers train individuals, crews, and small teams. Advise commanders on all aspects of training. Non-commissioned officers set the foundation for Army training. They train soldiers, crews, and small teams to be battle-ready. They provide crucial input and advice to the commander on what is trained and how it is trained. This ensures the organization trains on its most important tasks down to the individual soldier. Non-commissioned officers maintain responsibility for soldier and small unit training proficiency. Identify and train soldier, crew, and small team tasks. Help identify and prioritize unit collective tasks that support unit mission essential tasks. Train and enforce task standards. Continually focus training on sustaining strengths and improving weaknesses. Develop junior non-commissioned officer and help officers develop junior officers. Provide timely and objective training advice to their officers. Assist in planning, resource coordination, support, risk mitigation, supervision, and evaluation of training. Train using multi-echelon techniques to maximize time and resource efficiency. The Army fights as a team, and whenever possible, trains at echelon as a team. Additionally, the simultaneous training of multiple echelons on complementary tasks is the most efficient and effective way to train because it optimizes the use of time and resources. Additionally, individual and unit maintenance tasks represent important training opportunities that leaders must exploit. Disciplined units conduct disciplined maintenance to Army standards in garrison, during training, and when deployed. Training to maintain also means leaders train subordinates to be good stewards of Army resources. Building a sense of stewardship and frugality conditions leaders and units to operate more effectively in austere operational conditions. Train as a combined arms team. The Army fights and trains as a combined arms team by training tasks and weapons by associated warfighting function and functional units. Fire supporters and FA also train using multi-echelon training techniques, capitalizing on the inherent relationships among higher, lower, and adjacent units that habitually operate together. Commanders must create and integrate realistic training environments. This is accomplished by replicating the complexities of the expected OE, including electronic warfare, EW, denied, degraded, or disrupted space operational environment, D3 SOE, across their formations, in addition to operations in a Seaburn OE. Train to standard using appropriate doctrine. Commanders train both the FS and FA components of the FS system within their formations to ensure readiness. They consider their supported commander's strategy for training the entire combined arms team. They rely on their firm grasp of FA and FS doctrine and TTP, tempered by their experience and military skills when developing training plans. The responsibility for training includes the authority to determine the frequencies of the certification and qualification tables described in TC 3-09.8. Critical in determining these frequencies is a dialogue between FA commanders and their supported commanders. Train as you fight. Commanders must incorporate digital sustainment in their unit training plans. Digital sustainment training must be conducted with attention to detail and adherence to time standards. Digital tasks and troubleshooting procedures are perishable skills that need to be reinforced on a regular basis. Focus of this training must be at the end-user level of the FS and FA C2 systems. Whenever possible, incorporate multinational partner personnel and units during training events to increase interoperability and shared understanding of capabilities and limitations of FS systems. Multinational operations is a collective term to describe military actions conducted by forces of two or more nations, usually undertaken within the structure of a coalition or alliance. JP 3-16. All efforts must be expended to conduct this training in a field environment or over distances to replicate a field environment. The speed, accuracy, and responsiveness of fires in support of a commander's concept of operations depends on the proficiency with which firing units and TA capabilities utilize when communicating with digital systems. Sustain levels of training proficiency over time. Once the unit achieves required task and weapon proficiencies, it strives to maintain these proficiencies within the band of excellence. Many factors affect FS and FA training proficiency, such as personnel turbulence, skill atrophy, and maintenance of equipment, physical fitness, and new equipment fielding and training. Successful commanders understand these factors and ensure that the training proficiencies attained do not degrade to a less than acceptable level. To overcome the anticipated highs and lows of training proficiency, commanders continually reevaluate training plans, current proficiencies, and strategies. Sustaining high levels of proficiency sometimes proves more difficult than developing proficiency from a starting point. Train to maintain. As discussed earlier in this chapter, we will likely commence combat at a numerical disadvantage in attack/delivery platforms. For that reason, every gun, launcher, fire direction center, FDC, fuel truck, digital system, etc., is a precious commodity. Commanders ensure maintenance occurs at the highest of standards and with competent leader involvement. The purpose of command emphasis on maintenance is to maintain combat power by keeping every gun and launcher in the fight during large-scale combat operations. Units train maintenance tasks continuously according to Army standards under a variety of conditions that replicate the challenges of combat operations. Fight to train. It is an FA commander's duty to fight through distractions and protect training. It is the higher echelon commander's responsibility to defend their subordinate organization's approved training from unforecasted requirements and to underwrite associated risk to lower priority missions. Regardless of the quality of planning and preparation, there will be challenges to the execution of training. The ethic, fight to train, separates great trainers and units from the others.